Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Card Trade Tech Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call organized by MUFG Intime India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Nidhi Vijayvargiya from MUFG Intime India Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Palak. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I welcome you all to the earnings call of Card Trade Tech Limited to discuss the Q1 FY26 business performance. Today on the call, we have from management Mr. Vinay Sanghi, Chairman and Managing Director, and Ms. Anisha Bhandari, Executive Director and CFO. Before we proceed with this call, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. For more details, kindly refer to the investor presentation and other filings that can be found on the company's website. Without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to the management for their opening remarks, and then we can open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, Vinay sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to this first quarter earnings call. I really want to thank all of you for joining this call. We have, of course, put up a presentation, and I'd like to start by referring to slide three in the presentation. As many of you can see, Card Trade has delivered in the first quarter its highest-ever profits at 106% growth to 47 crores and its highest-ever revenue at 199 crores. We are quite excited about the quarter gone by and the future prospects ahead, and really feel optimistic at the business situation the way it is today. We have almost more than 115 million users on each of our platforms, CardWale, BikeWale, Rolex, that we've talked about earlier, and our traffic, as you can see in the slides ahead, continues to grow. If you look at the businesses itself, the consumer group has grown by 32%, which resulted in a 79% growth in profit and achieved a 29% EBITDA margin, which is getting close to a benchmark for the entire industry. Our remarketing business has gained momentum and delivered a 36% growth, which has led to almost 258% growth in profits, showing the leverage in the business. And OLX has achieved its highest-ever revenues with a 71% surge in its profits. If you look at slide four, I want to reiterate that we achieved the highest-ever revenue and profits in the quarter. We are the number one automotive platform in the country, number one used classified platform in the country, and number one vehicle auction platform in the country. Approximately 75 million consumers come to all our platforms every month. And what is more remarkable is 95% of these come organically. We have 500-plus physical locations. We auction at the rate of 1.4 million vehicles a year. Revenue, as I said, is 199 million in the last quarter, which is the highest ever. Adjusted EBITDA is almost 73 crores, which is a cash proxy for the company. And profit after tax is 47 crores. And as you can see, the cash has crossed to 1,024, which is approximately 70-odd crores more than the last quarter. So the company continues to be healthy with margins and healthy with its profits and cash generation. If you look at the next slide, slide five, revenue from operations and total income is up 27% at 199 crores. If you see our cost base is up by only 8%, and normally, as you know, all our increments are done in the first quarter. This cost increase, which we see in employee costs at 7%, we expect to be quite stable now for the rest of the year, considering all the increments are factored in the first quarter this year. EBITDA is up 98% as a result of the leverage in the business, as you can see. And EBITDA margin has gone to 25% on a consolidated basis from 15% a year ago, so margins continue to grow. PBT is up by 132% at 57 crores, which is our highest-ever PBT in a quarter as well. And then PAT is up 106% to 47 crores. The PAT is up 106% in spite of a 5.5 crore deferred tax. As you know, that's a non-cash tax cost as per the accounting standard. So in spite of the tax being up from 75 lakhs to 5.5 crores, PAT is still up 106% in the quarter. If you go to the next slide, which is the consumer group, as I said, revenue is up 32%, profit after tax up 79%, The 32% is on the back of an automotive or a car industry which has barely grown in the first quarter. It's been flattish. And in spite of that, the business has grown by 32%. Costs up 9%, which is mostly, you know, on a very low base, marketing costs up a little bit. As you see, employee costs is up only 4%. The one thing I'd like to also call out on the consumer group or is again the leverage in the business. The margins have gone to 29%, which is probably close to our highest ever margins. As you can see, PBT is up 115%, and because of the deferred tax, PAT is up 79%. You know, the other thing I'd like to call out is normally Q1 is the weakest, you know, in terms of revenues. And obviously, we expect this to grow as the season picks up, you know, from July onwards. When you go to slide 7 and you see the remarketing business, you know, the remarketing business is up 36%. This is something we've been working on for 2 to 3 years, as we called out in many, many earnings calls in the past. You know, we have talked about how repossession, you know, in the Indian automotive industry had been going down. There has been a slight bounce back in repossession, but also our retail businesses have grown. And collectively, and that's resulted in this massive 36% growth. And again, here, you can see the leverage in the business. Margins are shot up from 14% to 23%. EBITDA is up 120%. And of course, PAT is up 258%. You know, in Shriram Auto Mall also, or the remarketing business, Q1 tends to be normally, you know, a sluggish quarter. So we do expect, you know, things to still improve from here as we go on for the rest of the year. If you look at OLX and slide 8, it's up by about 2 to 3%, and operating revenue, total revenue up by 12%, and profits up by 71%. You know, we've done a lot of work on product tech in the last quarter. We've seen some early results of, you know, the growth momentum, the growth engine starting to fire. We're very optimistic about OLX, you know, during the next few quarters of the year. We definitely feel that all the product initiatives we're taking are starting to pay off. We launched an Elite Buyer program, you know, earlier this month, and we really feel we've got 3 more launches this quarter itself in July, August, September. And the existing products have also started to grow. So we feel pretty confident about the OLX growth prospects in terms of revenue or even traffic and other user metrics over the current quarter and then in the following quarters in the year. You know, the rest of the segmentation results, which on slide 9, the only thing I want to highlight there, this question comes often. If you see the share-based expense or ESOP cost, if you see it is also down 36% this year in the first quarter. It's down from, you know, 6 crores a quarter last year to about 3.85 crores a quarter. So we've had, you know, ESOP costs come down as well. So this is what I had to say. I'm happy to, you know, answer all your questions in doubt and clarify anything you might want to ask. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Siddhartha Bera from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a good set of results.
Thank you, sir.
First on the OLX. So like you mentioned that you have already taken a few initiatives which should sort of start helping the growth momentum going ahead. So if you can provide some more color about how to sort of see the improvement, I mean, will returning to that double digit 15-20% take some more time, probably a year, because of initiatives will probably take some time to roll out, or how do you see in terms of the impact on the revenues from a growth perspective, given the initiatives which you have taken?
So, you know, one is we normally don't give guidance on any growth percentage. But the first new product we launched was earlier this month, the Elite Buyer program, which has had really good response. We're launching 3 new products probably by the end of September or maybe beginning of October. We definitely feel that some of the initiatives will kick in and deliver some growth to our revenues in the current year. But we also believe that the earlier initiatives, a lot of work gone on product and technology, are starting to get some results, and we do feel pretty confident of a reasonable growth in the next few quarters in OLX.
Got it, sir. And in terms of the remarketing business also, we have seen a pretty strong step up in the current quarter. You mentioned that you believe these trends should ideally continue, given that Q1 is generally a seasonally low quarter in terms of revenue. So some more thoughts there. From where have we seen the pickup? And if on the mix side also, repo and consumer, where was the bigger sort of delta? So some more insights into how the growth has played out.
So the growth has come across segments. It's come in repo. It's come in our retail business. Our retail repo rate is about 45, and 45 is almost the same in percentage of volume. But it grows across segments. You're right. Normally, April, June, normally our numbers are the weakest. It shows the strength of the business. And we've done a lot of work. I mean, you've seen the last few years, we've talked about this a lot. And many earnings calls where we've told you that when repo comes back, we come out much stronger because the amount of work we did then is actually paying off now. So not only has repo grown, but other businesses have grown as well. And that's the result of this. We actually are quite optimistic about the year in the remarketing business. We see no reason why this should not continue. So if that's the question, I mean, as I said, normally April, June is the weakest volume. It should only pick up from here for the rest of the year.
Got it, sir. Thanks a lot. I'll come back in the
Thank time. You. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Sachin Dixit from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Vinay and team.
Hi, Sachin.
Recent set of results again. So on the remarketing piece, right, so what we notice in your matrix is that the volumes have actually dipped QOQ, and that to a significant dip is there, while revenue has grown QOQ as well. So can you explain what is the nature of this? What is happening? How are we driving this?
The volume, actually, if you look at Y on Y, I mean, there's an appreciable volume in Y on Y in terms of the volume itself, if you see year on year. Normally, March, if you look at the numbers, March is normally a more buoyant period than any other quarter. And obviously, as we get towards the end of the year, volumes will increase. But if you really look at year on year, I mean, you look at year on year, the volumes are up, actually. The listings are up 35%, the volumes are up 29%. So we feel pretty optimistic. As I said, even though the good mix of repo bouncing back and retail growing as well, there's pretty much growth across segments. So we see a reasonably buoyant kind of situation.
Yeah, I agree. YOY, the trajectory is easier to see, but I just wanted to understand the QOQ trajectory, right? Is it that
I think the way to see the year on year, there is a little two-wheeler bias, I'll be honest, you're right. There is a little two-wheeler bias. I think that's just the nature of repossession in India. There is a little bias. But to be honest, I think the way to compare volumes is really year on year, not Q on Q. I think that's the right way to compare it.
Understood. Understood. And my second question is on OLX, right? As you were highlighting that there are certain initiatives that you have already pulled off, three more expected to come in the coming few months.
Yeah.
Right. So is that the one that is getting reflected in a very sharp, 24-25% QOQ rise in employee cost? That's where the investment is going in?
There is some tech product investment, but I'll be honest, there are also increments which have come in April. All our increments are factored in the first quarter. From here, you'll see very little cost growth across the group, not just in OLX. But there is an increment which has come in the first quarter as well. And therefore, you're seeing the wage cost, go up. And if you look at, actually employee costs year on year, it's actually the right way to look at it, not Q on Q.
Understood. And just a follow-up on this one, right? There is also a rise in other income OLX, which I think is coming from some liabilities which don't need to be written back.
That's right.
Can you explain the
nature? There are some provisions. There are some provisions which we had made, which we, of course, they were not required to be made. So obviously, we've taken that back into income.
So that will revert back in the, that will normalize in the coming
quarters,
right. I guess. Understood.
At this point, it would. Yeah, at this point, it would, unless there are additional.
I mean, are there any more provisions or liabilities that need to be written back in the coming quarters?
You want to answer that?
Yeah, Manav, we are currently evaluating that. So there's some amount of cleanup that we've done this quarter, but we could anticipate another set of cleanup in the coming quarter.
Okay. Okay. Understood.
We're evaluating the other company.
Thanks. Thanks. All right. Thank you and all the best for the coming year.
Thank you, Sachin. Thanks.
Thanks, Sachin.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Vijit Jain from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. And hi, Vinay. Congratulations on a terrific set of results here.
Thank you.
My first question is, just looking at the traffic growth, right? 7% YOY is slightly lower than the trend we've seen recently. So do you think this is broadly reflective of the overall automotive market in general in terms of the demand trends? And I know for you, the business is also a function of whether advertisers and OEMs, in this case, want to advertise. So it doesn't directly flow through necessarily from this immediately. But how does this impact you on a more rest of the year basis? Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. You've got to remember the 7% growth in traffic in India is on a factor of the fact that the industry is actually slightly very marginally degrown, right? So it is a big factor on growth of traffic. That's really growth of the industry, a reflection, if you ask me, on interested buyers. I think the two things happen. One is obviously our market share of traffic has grown. It's bound to have, considering the industry has not grown, right? That's one. The second is if industry has not grown and we've grown 30% or more, it shows that people have shifted from any form of spend to us, which, I mean, the market share there has grown as well, whether it's digital or total. And that's what we always say, that when in industries like this, which are competitive, or when the growth rates, when demand is more than or when demand is less than supply, which is always the case normally in any industry, when supply is more than demand, we thrive then. And I think last two, 3 years have shown continuous growth here. Just looking, and the industry has grown as well, actually. The automotive industry, even though the growth is flattish, it's at a reasonable point of scale. And we continue to grow with that. And I think it's a very good position to be. I think most people are estimating the automotive industry to stay as it is for the next three quarters, right, for the end of the year, maybe like 0%-3% growth, probably somewhere there. We feel that's where we make the most contribution to manufacturers and dealers. And that's where we become the most relevant to everybody. We've always said we are the lowest cost of customer acquisition for any manufacturer or dealer. And this is the time when they need us the most.
Got it. Thanks, Vinay. My next question is on the employee costs in general and two parts to that. One is so a bit higher in OLX versus in standalone consumer, and I guess that is in line with where your product development efforts are going. And second, related to that, the ESOP expenses, is this the new normal going ahead? Because on a total employee cost basis, I think the increase is fairly modest here, right? I mean, so I'm just trying to get a sense of whether this is including the ESOP cost. The comment you made was that this is going to be the base.
Yeah. First, employee cost on a group level basis, it's 7% up Q on Q, right? Sorry, year on year, 7% up. And we actually think now, because this is mainly a fact of increments, right? So the chance of it is very unlikely employee costs will go up from here for the rest of the year, number one. There may be marginal changes in number. We might hire a few people, etc., etc., but no significant change in employee cost going forward, number one. In OLX, just to correct, employee cost actually down 5% year on year. So it's not up, number one. I think that's in spite of increments being factored in. So that's the second part. The third is ESOP cost. ESOP cost, as we've always said, it keeps coming down because and we don't think it could come down further in the coming years, actually, to be honest. So we don't think that there's going to be any significant ESOP cost. Even now, if you look at 3.8 crores a quarter, it'll become insignificant at total cost anyway now. But if at all, it'll come down or remain stable. It's not likely to go up.
So Vinay, the ESOPs are largely being given into the OLX employee base. Is that?
No, no. These are ESOP costs. These costs are pertaining to costs which ESOPs are granted in the past. They're not a current grant. Normally, when you issue an ESOP, you issue it, it's granted and then vests over a 4-year period or 5.
Right.
and you are amortizing these costs over a four-year period. So some of these costs are ESOP granted in the past, not being granted now. So,
correct.
I mean, a large part of the cost is past grants. Right? We actually, in the last quarter, Anisha can correct me, we haven't granted any ESOPs.
No.
Okay, got it. Understood. The last question.
And then that is why you keep coming down, because a lot of the grants 3-4 years back have now fully vested. So the cost will keep coming down.
Got it. Understood. The last question I had was on the remarketing business. I heard, you know, your comment on April, May. I mean, in general, the seasonality in this quarter is very well understood, and it's still a pretty remarkable set of numbers. So is it that, you know, is your optimism being driven by, in general, what we see in the industry in terms of, or what is being seen in the industry in terms of, you know, NPAs in used vehicles and new vehicle space? Is that something that you can see is going to rise given what you see in April and May?
I actually can't predict it's going to rise, but I do see NPAs higher than they have been in the past. It's hard for me to predict what might happen in the future, but definitely repossession is up. The volume coming to us is up. Our market share may have gone up as well. But also, by the way, during the last 2-3 years when repossession is down, we built other segments which have also grown.
Right.
So I think it's a combination of all of that. But I would just think repossession will be where it is right now. We are not projecting it to go up or down. We're just thinking it is what it is. It's hard for us to predict whether it will go up or not.
Correct. And if you can, disclose those metrics that you used to disclose earlier, share of repo, remarketing.
I actually said that upfront. It's about 44 and 45. Retail is 44, repo is 45.
Oh, okay. Got it. Thank you. Got it. Yeah. Thank you. And new and used and,
new is 84. Anisha, is new and used 84 in Carvalho and 16? And what's the third one you wanted? And what's the third? What is the third one?
OEM and dealers.
Is it, Anisha, you want to assist? I can't remember. It's 80.
OEM is about 69% and dealers is 21.
Yeah, 69. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Deep Shah from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi.
Hi,
thanks for the opportunity. Hi. I wanted to understand a bit on nature of our employee cost at ESOP. So when I see in our, say, consumer business, they have been growing pretty much in single digits, Y on Y, of course, other than 4Q. So what would be the split between, say, fixed cost and variable cost here? Because I assume some of it would be incentives based on the kind
so
of...
No, it's not. We don't. In the consumer group, actually, our incentives are very low. And we've talked about it earlier. A large part of our people costs are fixed costs. You should think about the tech. And that's where you see the employee costs in the consumer group or across the group, actually, I would say. If you look at the last couple of years, the cost escalation is very, very low.
Okay.
And it's because they're fixed costs. So as revenue grows, almost a large part of it gets added back to profit. And I think we've demonstrated that in our margins over the last many, many quarters, that as revenue has grown, a large, large part of it just goes to, and that's the beauty of the model and the leverage we have in our business, that a lot of the cost of wage increase of that 7% or 8% is done in the first quarter. If our revenue were to grow in quarter two or quarter three or quarter four, a large part of that will go to profit straight away.
Right.
I think that's just the nature of our business.
Correct. So then it would be very logical to assume that the incremental EBITDA margins for the business as a whole will keep on improving even from these levels akin to a typical classified
company.
We've
always said that our margins are normally, if you look at the historic last year or the year before, in Q1, our margins or EBITDA margins are the weakest.
Correct.
So if it is 25% consolidated or 29% the consumer group, we all, of course, anticipate it'll go up in the next few quarters. Absolutely.
Right.
If revenue grows.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. No, the chance of significant
cost escalation in the next few quarters is low. The chance of cost escalation.
Perfect. Thanks, Vinay.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Kunal Vora from White Whale Partners. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Hardik here.
Hi, Hardik.
Just a question on OLX. If you take out the other income, then actually the revenue from operations is up about 2% year on year, and our EBITDA would have probably degrown a bit. So can you just talk a bit about, you know, when we can expect some kind of momentum on the on this front, and also on the expenses front, where are we kind of investing back?
So we've been doing a lot of work on OLX over the last, I would say, like, for 18 months or so, or 19 months. And a lot of our work has gone in product and technology. As we said, we launched a product earlier this month, and we're launching 3 more in this quarter. That's taken, you know, 4 to 6 months of work to bring these products out. We actually have started first signs of seeing growth in OLX, coming around. And we actually believe through the rest of the year, I mean, we should be able to deliver reasonable growth in OLX and revenues. And of course, if revenues would grow, profitability would grow at a much faster pace, because the costs are unlikely to go up. So feel very optimistic about it. I think we also attached, this time, I mean, of course, had put it up to the markets even a few weeks ago. The OLX strategy deck is part of the current presentation, where you can see the potential of OLX as we think it is, and the TAM for the used product market, for entire used products in India, whether it is cars or electronics or other used products, and therefore that gives us a lot of optimism with OLX being a market leader by far, having 180 million people a year coming, entirely driven by brand. We don't advertise at all at OLX, and we still get 180 million people a year. So we feel very optimistic about all out of this. We shared a lot in a presentation that's attached here. And we think that the growth engine, we can see early signs of it. Like we talked about Samil for the last 2 years. You know, we feel this is also a place where we're in a reasonably good, stable place. And we see a tremendous opportunity in the next, you know, 3 quarters and many quarters after that.
Just to clarify, the EBITDA is not degrown. EBITDA is without the other income. So the EBITDA which is disclosed on the screen is revenue from operations minus the cost. So the growth of the EBITDA is excluding that.
Okay, no, sorry, my mistake. Just a follow-up on the OLX part, right? I mean, in the past calls, we always talk about how within OLX we want to focus on just the car opportunity, the used car opportunity, which has got a long runway for growth, and that we would take the other segments like electronics and mobile as and when we got things figured out. So just want to understand a bit in terms of the thinking, you know, what kind of was the catalyst for us to now look beyond just the used cars and expand into the other categories as well?
Yeah, so some of the other categories have also grown, and the product creation which we've launched is not just in automotive. So we launched an elite buyer program earlier in the month. It's of course on cars, but it's also on bikes and electronics and other used products. And all the products we launch now are actually aimed at all the used products we OLX deals in, not just cars. So you know, those are some of the things we've done here, where our first initial objective was to, you know, stabilize product and technology, then grow cars, then the other categories. I think we've taken up everything together. And as much as we work on cars, we work on the other categories as well now.
Okay, got it. One last question on the traffic front. As somebody already mentioned, you know, on an absolute basis, traffic is growing about 7%. And if I look at it, even from 3 quarters, like from December quarters, it's been degrowing. Now, I just want to understand how much of a correlation is there between, I guess, industry demand and traffic, and how much of it is, like, you know, should be just secular growth given it's still underpenetrated, right?
Yeah, there's not much correlation between traffic growth and revenue growth. I mean, you can see that in the results in the last few quarters. Traffic is actually grown at 7, revenue up more than 30%. That itself says something. I think traffic is a reflection a little bit about the industry on the whole. How many people out there searching for cars. It's not such a reflection of our revenues. So I would not correlate traffic growth with revenue growth in the company. I would not.
Asking about, traffic growth with overall in automotive industry demand growth.
It's a reflection. There's probably a reflection. Yeah, so the industry grew by 20, the traffic may grow faster. But the industry has actually been flat over the last quarter. So you see a traffic growth of 7, which also means we've gained market share a little bit from others.
Okay. Okay. So, I mean, if industry demand was accelerated, then this traffic growth would go into, like, let's say, the high teens, the 20% as well.
It's possible. I think when the industry grows faster, the traffic is bound to go faster.
Got it. Okay. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Vimal Gohil from Alchemy Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Hi.
And congrats on a good set of numbers.
Thank you.
My question is on the classified industry, which you just discussed. So you mentioned the industry may have been weak this particular quarter, and it's quite encouraging that you mentioned that you've gained share. But given the fact that, or rather, the size of the industry as such versus the overall spend that our end customers do on other platforms, why should our industry degrow? Shouldn't we be sort of growing at least or remain flat?
What is degrown?
The industry, the car classified industry, as you mentioned.
No, car classified is not degrown. Nobody said that. The car industry is flat, not car classified industry. In fact, our traffic has grown. So I don't think that's correct. Our traffic has grown 7%. The industry is down by, I think, 1% or something this quarter. Right? The car industry itself. In fact, the reality is digital adoption is going up in respect to the industry. And our revenues are growing 32%, which shows the adoption, actually.
Understood. And the second question is on OLX. You mentioned that you are already seeing signs of pickup from new initiatives.
Yep.
And this year could be you're expecting reasonable growth.
Yep.
Is this growth or confidence of growth coming from the new initiatives that you've taken, or the business as it is showing a good amount of traction? Because the newer initiatives...
No, we actually seeing that the new initiative is very early. It's only a month old, but we're seeing it across both. We're seeing new initiative, the first new initiative work out well, but we're also seeing growth or the early signs of growth in our current products and services we already offer.
Understood. And on the reported margins for OLX, if my assumption is that once the growth comes back, should we be looking at the margins coming back to the previous levels?
Yeah, the margins will keep going up as revenue grows in this company as well. It's whether it's OLX or Shriram Automall or, the consumer group, which is Carvalho and Bikevalho, it continues to grow as revenue grows, of course.
Thank you. All right. Thank you so
Thank
much.
You.
All the very best.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Hussein Baruchwala from Carnelian Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes, sir.
So I just wanted to understand on the OLX side, like one thing which I wanted to understand is on real estate front. You've not mentioned how much we can scale it up on the real estate. So can you give some color on real estate? Can it become big? How meaningful that can be?
Yeah, real estate is one of our second largest categories after auto. We are in a specific place in real estate where most of the business is people's houses or commercial properties or rentals. It is not on new development. So a lot of the other real estate players focus on new development, which are new properties or new sites. We are mostly on people's own premises. And in that, we have a reasonable market share. So we feel very optimistic about the real estate side as well. It's a high margin business for us, something which is also done well in the past for OLX, and it's very strong in tier 2, tier 3 cities, especially reasonably medium sized, low cost properties.
Got it. And you have focus players like NoBroker.com or the other players which are there in the market. So how do you see the competition in this landscape?
We are actually very different because a lot of the NoBroker, and I think some of these are buying and selling properties. We are not doing that. We're a platform where sellers and buyers directly connect. So if you're a real estate, if you're a consumer who's got your own house, you use OLX. Or if you're maybe even a real estate broker who's got properties, you might list them. We generally, OLX is a platform which is an asset-light platform. Some of these are, others are, trying to get transactions done and make money, which they could be even taking positions on them. We don't do that at all. We're just a marketplace.
Got it. Got it. Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Rohan Nagpal from Helios Capital Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I open?
Hi, Rohan.
Hi. Congrats on a great set of numbers.
Thank you.
So on OLX, you've talked a lot about the optimism. I mean, you've talked about growth and your optimism about it sort of accelerating from here on. Could you just provide some color on, like, the signs of growth that you're seeing? Are you seeing more traffic? Is it more listings? Is it more paid listings or, I mean, advertising on the platform?
Yeah.
Are you seeing more people signing up for the lead buyer program? So just some, like...
These are normally the indications we look at, our daily active users or, you know, our listing, paid listings, conversion buckets, conversion flows, you know, collections. These are some of the metrics we look at, right? And we see many signs of that now going up. So we feel pretty confident that this growth engine will start driving growth in revenues, you know, in the coming quarters and coming years for sure.
Can you quantify some of these? Like, what is the sort of update you're seeing year over year, quarter over quarter?
At this point, we're not able to disclose the exact, all these metrics and the growth rates of, you know, the future. We don't normally give guidance around this, but the early signs are, I mean, like we've talked in the past of Shriram Automobile, the early signs are that it looks like the growth engine, you know, or the growth in metrics as well as revenue should start from now.
Okay, good. Thank you. That's it for my end.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Sashi Rajan from Anadin Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Sure. Yeah, can you hear me?
Congratulations. Just can you help me
Thank
understand
you.
The can you just help me understand the traffic that is we are getting from the tier 2 and tier 3 cities as far as services and products are concerned? Thank you.
As far as what's the last part of the question? Traffic from tier 2 cities?
Tier 2 and tier 3 cities, how much traction we're getting in the car segment and the electronic segments from tier 2 and tier 3 cities?
If talking about OLX specifically and used products, a large part of OLX's traffic comes from tier 2, tier 3 cities as well. One of the reasons why, you know, OLX has remained strong over the last few years is availability of, you know, data or penetration of 5G and 4G in some of these towns, which is what provided some level of growth in OLX as well. And that's also some of the growth coming in Carvalho and Bikewalho, because we find that tier 2, tier 3 is driving some of this growth. As we go on, as penetration goes, the internet penetration goes in these towns, obviously the beneficiaries will be platforms like Carvalho, Bikewalho and OLX. But that penetration already started to happen in the last 2 to 3 years, and we're already seeing growth coming from these towns.
Thank you, Vinay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Ankit Kanodia from Zenivesh. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question and congratulations
on
good setup.
Thank you.
So, most of my questions related to the current business scenario has already been covered. So, I'll just ask a forward-looking question in the sense that I'm not asking for any numbers, but how do we see up growing our revenues in the next, say, 2-3 years? And why I'm asking this question is that because the market we are in is still very, very, very nascent and probably still, if we don't take the OLX part, if we just take our Carvalho segment, I think most of our traffic would be metro. And metro also, there would be a few metros who would be giving us most of the traffic. So any color on how do we long-term approach this and how to penetrate the market further going forward? Because we're still at a very nascent stage.
Sure. No, I agree with the fact that we're all at early days of this in India. There are 2-3 growth drivers here. If you look at the industry itself, the automobile industry itself is underpenetrated in India, number one. Number two, the digitization of it itself, only about 15-16% of all advertising in India comes with digital platforms like ours. So in most other countries, that's 30 to 40%. So that's also at a very early stage. You know, if you look at the TAM, whether you look at used products or new products, we've got such a big universe. In fact, I think Cartrade Tech, after the OLX acquisition, the TAM is almost limitless. It's only, you know, our growth is completely dependent on what we can execute and what we can deliver. So we feel very optimistic about growth in volumes, growth in market share, growth in revenues, growth in profitability and margins over the next few years and quarters. Whether it is, you know, used cars, whether it is new cars, whether it is new bikes, whether it is used products, whether it is auctions, we feel very optimistic about, as I said, the TAM for the group is almost limitless. There's a lot to do and a lot for us to work on. There's a lot of new technologies to build. In fact, what we've not talked through is the amount of AI intervention in the company itself at the front end, back end. There's a large amount of work going on, which of course is not evident to everybody, on the amount of technology, you know, innovation and intervention we're doing on all our platforms and products. As we talk about the fact that also the brands Bikewale, Carwale, and OLX, we're probably one of the only companies in the world which on three different platforms, you see more than 150 million customers a year on three different platforms. And I think that itself makes us feel really optimistic about all the three brands, OLX, Carwale, and Bikewale. And we feel really optimistic about the future because of that reason itself. So there's technology, there's brand, there's TAM, many, many reasons why we feel optimistic about revenues and profitability and margin growth in the future.
Okay, thank you. And second question would be any color on, to, I'm not asking for any particular competitor, but any color on competition as to what, where the industry is going, what other players are doing in general, and how we are maybe ahead of them or maybe different from them.
As you know that, you know, OLX has no direct competitor. OLX is a very strong market leader on used products, which is used cars and other products. You know, Motomall also has no direct competitor, very, very strong in auctions. For us, you know, a lot of what we need to do in the future is just focusing on our execution. As I told you already, the TAM is limitless. You know, for us, it's about, you know, building really good technology and products for our consumers and continuously growing. Competition is not the limitation. Our limitation is, you know, our own execution capabilities. And as we develop them and grow and build new technologies, obviously keep growing the revenue and growing the margin of this company. We don't think competition is a limitation in the company.
I was not talking from the perspective of limitation. I was just trying to understand as in there are other players also, and they are also fairly large players.
I think most of them are customers of ours. We, as I said, in used products, we have really no competitor, direct competitor. Most of the other players who, you know, people perceive as competition are full stack players. They buy vehicles, sell vehicles. So actually customers of ours who list on our platform, they're not really competition for us.
Got it. Thank you so much and all the best for
you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next question is from the line of Anuj Kapil from Taurus Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, sir. I just wanted a little bit color on your current cash position and if you can throw some light on the possible capital allocation plans that you would be having for M&A or CapEx or platform development.
Sure. The current cash position we put in the deck is 1,024 crores. It's grown approximately 75 crores over the last quarter. We, you know, the figure called adjusted EBITDA, I mean, our cash seems to be a reflection of that mostly. It's all surplus. We, as you know, we generate cash every quarter, so this is surplus. The use of the cash is likely to be M&A in the future, or you know, if we find a target company which where we can exploit synergies or where we can grow our current businesses, then that will be one use of cash. I think that's otherwise, obviously, the other use of cash is distributed to shareholders and you know, as and when we can, or as and when, you know, regulation allows to do so.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, due to the interest of time, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Nidhi Vijayvargiya for closing comments.
Thank you, Palak. I would like to thank the management for taking the time out for this conference call today and also to all the participants. If you have any queries, please feel free to contact us. We are SGA Intime Investor Relations Advisor to Cartrade Tech Limited. Thank you so much.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Thanks, Nidhi. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Cartrade Tech Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.